Combat Sports Radio Source, Main Event Radio, CJLO 1690 AM, maineventradio.com is our official homepage. I am your host, Ryan Ryder. It's a scorcher out there, nearly 40 degrees in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. Woo! We're live on the air talking professional wrestling, Impact Wrestling, presenting Bound for Glory in Ottawa at the Aberdeen Pavilion. That's November the 5th. 2017 this year, coming up in just a little over a month's time. And joining us right now is a fellow Canadian, someone who is from the Toronto area and now resides in Tampa, Florida. And we welcome her in today's episode of Main Event Radio. Gail Kim, welcome into the main event. How you doing?
Great. How are you guys doing? Thanks for having me.
Doing very well. It's a pleasure to have you on the main event. So Bound for Glory, coming to Ottawa. Are you excited to be coming home to Canada?
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. When I heard the news that we were going to have Bound for Glory, our biggest pay-per-view of the year in Canada, I was so excited because I honestly can't even remember the last time I was there, probably years now. So, you know, I announced my retirement coming up, and so I couldn't honestly picture a perfect way other than this to retire. I mean, I don't know for sure when exactly that last match will be, but this will be definitely near the end, if not the end, you know, so we'll see. I'm very excited.
Okay, so you've announced your retirement. You're saying it might be your last match, it might not. Any idea what day will be your final match?
Well, we just kind of generalized it, and we said at the end of 2017, I was really kind of basing it off of how I felt. I had back surgery last year. It was a minor back surgery, if there is any type of minor back surgery, I guess. I was having a lot of issues. And so basically what happened was when I went in to have this minor surgery, the doctor had told me, oh, yeah, you can come back in 7 weeks, you know, and get back in the ring. And 7 weeks had passed, and basically I just knew. I said, I'm not even close to being ready for the ring. And that 7 weeks turned into basically 7+ months. And so, you know, I just don't want to take a gamble with my quality of life in the future. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's basically been a decision in terms of how my body feels.
And how does your body feel right now?
I mean, you know, I have ups and downs. Every day is kind of different. The last few times I've been in the ring, it's been good one day and bad the next. And so I'm doing everything to stay on top of keeping it, you know, as strong as it can be to get to that point. And so I'm working with a physical therapist. I'm doing what I need to do and listening to them in terms of what body parts I need to concentrate on in terms of keeping strong. And then working with a therapist to break down, you know, the scar tissue and everything that's surrounding those body parts that create all the pain and all the discomfort. So right now I feel good. You know, I have a couple of matches coming up, and so we'll just, like I said, play it by ear. And I just always have said, I just don't want the fans to see me kind of deteriorating in any way in the, mm-hmm. in my performance. And so when I feel that and when I see that, you know, that's the day I'm going to have to step away. But it's definitely close. I can't lie about that.
So when you do retire at the end of 2017, is it going to be a Terry Funk retirement, or will your in-ring days truly come to an end?
No. You know, and a lot of people have kind of joked around with me. They said, if it's really your retirement, or, you know, who knows, if just a couple months down the road you want to come back and do an appearance. And I said to them, I said, in terms of non-wrestling, of course. Like, I wouldn't say no to staying in the business because, hey, we all love the business. But when it comes to in-ring, it's just, you know, it really is a gamble, like I said, in terms of my body. And I don't want to do that to myself, and I don't want to do that to my future. Because if I look back at my career, I am so satisfied with everything I've accomplished. And so it would be just silly, you know, to risk all that.
Looking back at your career, what would you see your legacy as being?
Well, I would like to think, I mean, that's really in the fans' minds. Mm-hmm. I would like to think it was helping create the women's division in our company in Impact Wrestling and making a difference and showing the fans that, you know, at the time, right before our women's division was created and Kong came in and all the other talented girls, you know, all these people used to tell me, because it was at the time that women's wrestling was essentially dead. And, you know, even other people in the business who were females would say to me, oh, Gail, you know, they don't want to see women's wrestling. It's a restroom break and, you know, you're fooling yourself. And I just always thought I would get angry. And I'd say, no, you're wrong. You're wrong. And so for me, it was just always proving that. And I feel like we did that. And somehow bringing in all these girls, it was a success essentially overnight. And we never stopped there. Like, we have definitely gone through our ups and downs. And I feel like we were just recently in a rebuilding stage. And now that Taryn Terrell came back and we just acquired Taya, who's a fellow Canadian, and all these other girls who have been wrestling for so long, like Allie, another fellow Canadian, we've got a really good group of girls. And just seeing the last couple of weeks, I definitely feel like we just got this new reboot to our women's division. And I feel really proud, and I hope that it just continues from there. And my legacy going forward after I retire, I hope to still contribute, but more behind the scenes and helping that women's division get to that point.
You're listening to Main Event Radio. Ryan Ryder in conversation with Gail Kim, Bound for Glory, coming to the Aberdeen Pavilion in Ottawa. So, Gail, what do you miss most about the Great White North?
Oh, boy. I definitely miss the people, number one. You know, my family and my friends are there. And the one thing I always hear from fellow Americans here where I live is that they always say, oh, Canadians are so friendly. They're so nice. And, you know, that has always been a constant from the time that I lived there to now. And so I definitely miss the people. I do not miss the winter. I have never missed the winter.
I don't blame you on that.
Yeah. I miss things, you know, certain things that are Canadian. Like, it just sounds so silly, but Canadians have better chocolate, better candy, better flavors of chips. You know, the junk food.
The ketchup chips.
Yeah, ketchup all dressed. All those kind of flavors. And then... and Tim Hortons, of course.
Yeah? You're a Tim Hortons gal?
Yeah. I mean, here I have to settle for Starbucks, I guess.
Okay. I actually prefer Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh, you do? I like Dunkin' Donuts, too. I actually do. Yeah. The only thing is Dunkin' Donuts doesn't carry non-dairy products, and I'm allergic to dairy.
Oh, okay. So it's not convenient for you.
Like coffee, like milk. They don't carry almond milk or soy milk or anything like that.
Oh, then maybe they should add that. They got to take you as an advisor.
Exactly.
So, Gail, last year at Bound for Glory, you were inducted into the Impact Wrestling Hall of Fame. How special was that induction ceremony?
I would say that was pretty much, besides my retirement, which I hope will go as planned, you know, just to be happy with my match and have that happy moment. Besides that, I mean, that really was the icing on the cake in my career, because it was kind of that stamp of, you know, from my peers, the fans, especially my peers, you know, that they felt like I deserved that spot, and all my hard work over the years had paid off for that one moment. And it was truly special, you know. And to be the first female, that was another thing that made me feel great, that that I could have contributed to the business as a female in that way.
Who would you like to see inducted into the Hall of Fame this year?
Oh, wow. I'm not sure if they're doing Hall of Fame this year.
Okay.
They talked about it. Not sure. But if they did, gosh, there's so many great people. From talent, I would say there's Abyss, Awesome Kong, James Storm. There's a couple of people who have been with the company a really long time and have contributed in so many great ways. And then if you're going to look in a non-talent way in terms of being a contributor to the company, I would say Jeremy Borash. I mean, he's been there from the very beginning, and I can tell you, maybe fans don't see it, but he does a lot of work in terms of commentating, ring announcing, contributing to, you know, online stuff and producing, editing. He does a lot.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah, yeah. One of my best friends.
Oh, okay.
So I guess I'm a little... No, but even if he wasn't one of my best friends and if I wasn't biased, he definitely deserved it.
I agree with you. So you're transitioning now to a new role behind the scenes. What does that entail?
Well, basically, I'm just working with the girls in terms of, you know, help producing the matches and just getting maybe the girls, because we are in a rebuilding stage, getting to them to a point where maybe, because they may not be getting as many matches outside of the company as they can, I would spend more time with them in the ring. And then, you know, just giving them a different perspective on things as a woman, because throughout all the years, we've always had male producers, and they've all been great, and we love working with them. But I think when there's a woman helping them, it gives them more of a perspective of what they would be doing. And I'm pretty direct in my personality. I think every producer is kind of different, so they would handle the girls in a different way. And so I think coming from a woman, and I think they know I'm not that, they know I'm there to help them, and they know I'm so invested in the division and I'm so invested in them, and I truly care. I think that when I do critique or when I do say something direct to help them make it better, they don't take it personally, and they know it's just for the better of the company, better for them, and better for the division.
Ryan Ryder here for Main Event Radio on the line. Gail Kim, Bound for Glory, coming to Ottawa, Ontario, November the 5th. Gail, so in the last 15 years, the view of women's wrestling has truly changed. Jump-started by you and a fellow Knockouts in the Impact Women's Division back in 2007. How does it feel to have jump-started a women's revolution in wrestling?
You know, for me, it was always just, it's kind of a personal satisfaction to prove that women can be as good as the guys and we can draw. And it's just a nice feeling to know that we can do that. And we got the backing of the people we work with and the fans. And it's just, you know, you can walk away. I can walk away from the business knowing that I did something meaningful. And I hope that the fans look at it this way. I know that the girls that I have worked with previously and currently are appreciative. So, I mean, that's all I can really say. I just hope that the future generations can see that and hope that it means something to them too.
What are your thoughts on the Mae Young Classic 32-woman tournament?
Oh, my gosh. I was so happy and excited that they finally did this, because, and then I had heard that it was a huge success on the network. So for me, that's another stamp to say, hey, you know what? The fans do enjoy watching the women, and they are a draw. And, you know, there's a couple of the girls who I've worked with previously, so I was really happy for them. And, you know, the girls who worked in Impact previously, like Marty Bell and Jade, and so, and then Santana Garrett, and there's a couple of other girls, and I was just really proud. You know, they may not have been in our company doing it, but for me, it's not really about that. It's more on a whole of women's wrestling, and I hope that they all get opportunities in the future.
I agree with you on that, and I would have loved to have seen you be part of that tournament.
Yeah, you know, it's just a couple of people have said that, and I'm like, I just don't know what would have happened, though. No, you just never know.
Is it true that you had some sort of contact with Triple H?
Oh, no. I mean, you mean recently?
Yeah, recently.
Oh, no.
Okay, because I think he had mentioned you in a press release about the tournament.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I know that Jade, because she was in the tournament, and, you know, I've always kind of looked at her as a little sister. Mia Yim, sorry, she was going by as Mia Yim there. I've always looked at her as kind of my little sister. She's half Korean and, you know, kind of the same type of mentality coming up through the business. She always just wanted to show she was a really good wrestler, you know, the sport of wrestling, and that was always me. And so before she entered the tournament, she said, is it okay if I use your finisher? And I said, girl, you go ahead. You have my blessing. You use my finisher. You can use any move you want of mine because I truly believe in you, and I want you to take the whole thing. And so maybe she had talked about that, so I don't know if that might have been a reference. I've never heard that before, but.
Okay. So I wanted to know, how did you and your husband, Robert Irvine, initially meet?
So when I was in WWE, he had a show called Dinner Impossible at the time, and he was doing his show with WWE, and so it was basically a show where he was presented challenges. And so that day it was SummerSlam, and they presented him with a challenge of cooking for the VIP SummerSlam party and cook 20 dishes, all named after wrestling moves, and, you know, he had 8 hours to do it or something like that. And there was a couple of wrestlers on the show, and at the time, I really, really enjoyed cooking and obviously eating. Who doesn't like to eat? And so I saw that they were doing the show, and I said, oh, my gosh, I love cooking, and I love all food-related stuff. How come I'm not on it? And so they said, okay, we'll see if we can get you added. And then so they added me 2 weeks later, and I was on the show, and the rest is history, I guess you could say.
All right. Was it love at first sight?
Yeah. Well, we won't say love at first sight, but it's definitely attraction at first sight. And everybody always says, well, you guys are so opposite, a chef and a wrestler. How does that happen? And it is opposite worlds in terms of food and wrestling. But at the same time, it's still both entertainment. We both have very similar lifestyles. We both like to eat. We both travel. We both work out. We both have very strong personalities. So everyone that really knows us says we're a perfect match. I think on the outside, people think it's very weird. But the people, like I said, that know us think it's a perfect match. Because I don't think anyone else can handle our personalities.
Well, you're both very passionate about your interests.
Yes, we're very passionate about our interests. We're very supportive of one another. So my husband is not only passionate about food, but he has a passion for military because he was in the Royal Navy when he was 15. And so he contributes a lot to the troops and has a foundation that gives to the troops and many other causes. But last year we went to Iraq together and on Christmas Day and we visited the troops. And that was just such an eye-opening experience for me because I always supported him in everything he loved and believed in. But until you go there and you're there in Iraq, right in the danger zone, and you see the soldiers' faces light up, you don't realize the difference you can make. And so, you know, that was a great experience for me. And then in terms of wrestling, he never really watched wrestling growing up, and so he really experienced his first live wrestling match when he started dating me, and he would sit ringside and he would say, wow, you know, I never really understood how entertaining this is. And he would say, for the families that come out here, for the amount of money you spend and you're getting 8 matches and this live interaction and this whole show. And he'd always, you know, his respect really grew for our business.
And now he's a regular at the Impact Zone.
Yeah, yes. I would say regular, but semi-regular, yeah. He's got a busy schedule.
So what's your favorite dish, non-dairy, that Rob makes for you?
Everything. I know it sounds so cliche, but, you know, I've always cooked really healthy and simply because I don't, you know, that's not my field. And so when he actually does cook, which is not very often because we're never really home, he finds new, you know, exciting ways that I would never even think of to make sauces for vegetables and, you know, create marinades for proteins like fish and chicken that I would never even think of. So that's really great. I love that. So it's a treat when he cooks.
Main Event Radio, I'm Ryan Ryder. With me, Gail Kim. We're talking about Impact Wrestling, Bound for Glory, coming up November 5th in Ottawa. So are the GFW letters still being used?
As far as I know, yes, they are. Okay. They call the show Impact Wrestling. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the pay-per-views, I think they call it GFW. It gets confusing, I know.
I know. It's like the rebranding from TNA to GFW, but they're still Impact. And I don't know if they're still GFW now.
Well, we'll just call it Impact Wrestling.
Exactly. That's what we're sticking
with. Just so everybody doesn't get confused.
Yeah. So how did Taryn Terrell end up returning?
So, you know, Taryn had left a couple of years ago because of, I don't really want to say why, to be honest, because it's her business. But,
well,
you know,
we've reported on it, so it's common knowledge.
I mean, it was more. So basically, she left, and then I find that, you know, this is the case with everyone, as everyone knows. It's very hard to leave this business because I always say wrestling is like the mafia. Once you get in, you can't get out. it's so true. I know people who have left the business for 8 plus 10 years. And they always want to come back in some way, whether it's, you know, just helping you out, training, or to be part of a show or to wrestle. I mean, anyway, it's just a very addictive business. And so she had missed it, and she had contemplated, you know, coming back. And when we had talked about retirement with the company, I think someone brought up her name because, you know, of our past and our great feud and everything like that. And so they said, well, what about Taryn? And I said, well, I didn't even think of that as an option. And so I guess they had had discussions with her, and they made the decision to bring her back. And I think she's a great addition. You know, Taryn's been in the business a long time, despite the break. It's wrestling's always been something where it's like riding a bike, right? You just got to get back and get used to it again.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too. I'm really happy to have Taryn Terrell back. And it's like my late great friend Roddy Piper used to call it, the sickness, how you just can't get out of the wrestling business.
It's so crazy, and I've been trying to figure it out from day one. Like, why can't anyone leave this business? And, you know, it's just that excitement, I think. It's the adrenaline. It's an that satisfaction after that. You know, if you have a great match, it's nothing else compares to that magical feeling. And you always want to get that back again.
Great. So two of the best matches of your career were against Taryn Terrell. And I happened to be in attendance for both of them. The last woman standing and the ladder match. Yes. Two great matches. I really enjoyed them, as did many of fans.
Yeah. Oh, so you traveled to Boston and Las Vegas?
Oh, one of them was Las Vegas?
Yeah.
Okay, never mind that. I had seen the one in Boston, and I had seen one of your fights in New York.
Okay. Oh, yeah. You know what? Her and I have had, I would say, a good couple of matches, solid. We have great chemistry. So
I do travel quite often.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. We appreciate your loyal and your dedication.
All right. So, yeah, memories of those matches that you had with Taryn.
Are you asking me about my memory?
Yes.
Sorry?
Yes, I am.
Okay. It was so crazy because, you know, leading up to the last Knockout Standing match, I don't think anyone had expected anything from Taryn because she was this ex-WWE diva, blonde, pretty, and never had really shown anything where people were blown away up until that point. And so she was actually doing stunt work at the same time, kind of doing double duty. And I just knew in the back of my mind she had the potential to go to another level. And I always knew that she loved being physical, and I knew she was fearless. And, you know, we really capitalized on that, I think. And it was the first time, even despite I've had many, many great opponents, and, you know, even opponents that were quite different from her, you know. So I feel like the one thing in my career that I had a strength in was playing to my opponent's strengths. And so I knew what to work with, and it was just incredible. Honestly, you never know what's going to happen that day. There were so many things that happened that day, actually, because it was a last Knockout Standing match, and at the same time in the main event, it was, I believe, Bubba Ray Dudley and Sting, mm-hmm. and they had a no disqualification match.
Yeah, that was the main event in Boston.
Yeah, so there was a lot of things that played into that match of us being limited, and so we did the best of what we could, and you know, just some things just happen perfectly, and I believe it's just, I don't know, things are just on that day. The universe is playing in our favor. And the only word that I ever use with her and Kong is that it's just magic, you know, and I don't really know what other word to use. It's a special moment, special chemistry, and it's truly trust in one another and going to that next level and not being afraid. It's the fearlessness and, you know, just some things in that match, too, just happened beyond our expectations. So, I mean, I couldn't have asked for anything more special.
It was certainly magic. One of the best matches of the night and one of the best women's matches that I've ever witnessed live. I actually spoke to the agent afterwards, Simon Diamond. And I know he was really proud of what you and Taryn
did. Yeah. And the one moment that I remember is, because I don't really remember a lot of things because I've been kicked in the head all the time, but I do remember coming back from that match and later on Pat or Simon Diamond saying, he was like a proud father, and he said, "You stole the show! You stole the show!" And if anybody knows my relationship with Pat, he was the very first guy I ever managed in my career ever on the indies.
Oh.
So it kind of came, yeah, isn't it okay. Crazy? So I was back then on the indies, La Felina. And so he was Simon Diamond. And my first, I think, couple of shows, I was put with him by Scott DeMore at Border City Wrestling. And so it kind of came full circle where I managed for him, where I was very green. And then he ended up being my agent. And we would just butt heads, like, father daughter almost, or sister brother. And it's funny, but then after about a year of butting heads, we kind of trusted each other and knew, you know, what worked. He kind of gave me a little bit more freedom and trusted my opinions, and I knew what his strengths were to contribute, and I knew what my strengths were, and we trusted each other. It's a really great relationship.
Talking about historic matches in your Impact Wrestling career, you mentioned Awesome Kong, the series of matches you had with her. Fans will never forget those.
Yeah. It was just crazy with Kong, because before we had this women's division, the things I remember is the company telling us at the time, because it's only myself, Tracy Brooks, I think Christy, Hemi, Jackie Moore had come in. There's only maybe 4 to 5 girls. And they said, okay, guys, after, you know, a lot of begging for a long time, they said, we're going to bring in a women's title, and at Bound for Glory, we're going to bring in all these girls, and we're going to have a gauntlet. I mean, we literally screamed in the arena out loud because we were so happy. And then I remember the guys telling me about Kong, and that was one of the girls that I went to the agents, and I said, I've heard so much great things. So many great things about this girl, Awesome Kong, in Japan, and I'd never seen her work, but I said, we need different girls, you know, we need to just bring in strong girls who can wrestle, and so they brought her in, and before the gauntlet, they decided to have all the girls be introduced, and I had my first singles match with Kong, and so I had just met her backstage, and like, I think the day before, and she was nice, and, you know, just obviously not in character, and then she came out for her match in the entrance, and it was the first time I'd ever seen her in character. And I remember being legitimately scared. And I remember thinking, oh, shit, this girl is scaring me for real. And then we had our first match, and great chemistry, you know, pretty simple and basic. And they kind of just went with that. And I think at the time, because they didn't know what to do with the women, they kind of not put us to the side, but they kind of put us in a basic, you know, storyline of going slow and doing it the basic way of, let's say, for example, these days, you know, you see storylines maybe go 2 to 4 weeks, 4 weeks max, mm-hmm. It seems like. They're just so fast. And so with this storyline, they just said, okay, let's do it slow. You know, the typical right way to do a story in terms of psychology. And it just worked. It just really worked. And every week that it was getting a response, you know, Jeff at the time obviously was in charge, and he was just loving everything. He's like, I just love Kong and Gail. And then so they just kept on going and kept on going. And it was just this incredible David and Goliath storyline. And the two things, you know, with Taryn and Kong, those were the two storylines that were the most successful in my career. And I always tell everybody it's because they took their time with it. You know, Taryn came in as a referee because she had taken a couple of years off.
Mm-hmm.
And we built the storyline really slow. And so it gives the fans time to get invested in the story, get invested in our characters, and really care. And so that factor, I think, was the true key factor in making those storylines a success.
I had shown the matches between you and Kong to even non-wrestling fans, and they were just amazed by it.
Oh, I'm so happy that, you know, that we can impress non-wrestling fans, and that people can still, to this day, go look at that and still, you know, be happy to watch that and be entertained. When I go to wrestling appearances, that's the one thing I tell Kong when I see her. I just saw her actually really recently. And I said, you know, it's so funny because to this day, and it's been a really long time, what, 2007, so 10 years since our feud. I said, people still tell me to this day, I love your stuff with Kong. I love your stuff with Kong. So the fact that we can make a long-lasting impression, that is satisfying for me.
And the hits are up there on those YouTube videos.
Oh, I haven't checked, but one day I will, definitely.
If only you could get some royalties for that.
I know, right? We wish.
So, Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. Awesome Kong is actually a co-star in it. Any chance of you making a guest appearance in season two?
No, I mean, that's so funny. I had heard GLOW was happening, and I think I found out a little bit too late. They were just kind of hiring people and going into production that way. And I said, I kind of made a run for getting a role, not on screen. I actually wanted to train the actresses to show them how to wrestle. And so I'd heard Kia auditioned, and she got the role. So I was so happy for her because she was perfect. And by the way, she stole the show on that program. I was
the welfare queen.
Blown away. Oh, my gosh. She was so good. Yeah. I was so impressed. I told her, girl, you're an actress. You know, you run with that because you're a natural. And so then I had heard that they had reached out to Chavo Guerrero, who's one of my good friends anyway. So I was like, okay, good. So it was a little bit too late in the process. But Chavo had brought in myself, Tori, Victoria, Lisa, and Candice Michelle to just talk with the producers for season two to give them stories of, you know, what it was like to be a woman on the road and trying to get some creative juices going. So I guess we contributed in a little way.
Maybe you'll end up making a cameo. You never know.
Yeah, you never know. There's been a couple of people, right? There's been
Alex Riley, Johnny Morrison.
A lot of people.
And Tyrus too was on it, so you never know.
Yeah, and it was a great show. So I'm so glad that you know, that there's something scripted out there that can entertain people who won't necessarily watch pro wrestling, but at least they can see a different side of wrestling.
Impact Wrestling Hall of Famer Gail Kim. I'm your host, Ryan Ryder, on Main Event Radio. Bound for Glory is in Ottawa, November the 5th. Gail, it's been great talking with you today. Any other thoughts about coming back to Canada and the big Bound for Glory event, which includes potentially your retirement match?
Yeah, I'm just really excited. I can't wait to perform for the Canadian fans. I'm hoping to go out there and steal the show once again. You know, that's always my main priority, is stealing a show and giving the best match of the night. And hopefully regaining the women's title for the last time. We'll see.
Let's say theoretically you do become women's knockout champion. Would you retire as champion or defend the belt?
I would think, like I said, it would depend on how I feel at the end of the match, because every time I'm in a match, I want to give my whole body to it. I don't want to shortchange the fans. And so you just never know what's going to happen. My back, I have no L4, L5 right now. So, you know, it's kind of walking the fine line. We'll see.
So please be careful, Gail. Don't get too risky.
Okay.
Look forward to seeing you wrestle at Bound for Glory. I'm gonna cherish your final match or one of your final matches, and good luck in the Knockouts Championship matchup.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
It's a pleasure to have you, Gail. Thank you for joining the Main Event. Ryan Ryder and Mikey Maggiore on Main Event Radio.
What up, what up?
Great interview with Gail Kim. Looking forward to seeing her in Ottawa for Bound for Glory. By the way, Bound for Glory is November 5th, but the entire week they're doing Impact Wrestling television tapings for Pop TV, and a very special night is going to be held on Wednesday, November 8th, Main Event Radio Appreciation Night at the Impact Wrestling TV taping. 50 lucky Main Event Radio fans.
50?
Yeah, we'll be taken.
50, guys, you hear
we'll
that?
We'll be taken backstage for a meet and greet.
Wow.
On behalf of Main Event Radio. And there'll even be some merchandise given out. It's going to be a fun night. So all you have to do is purchase a ticket for the Impact Wrestling TV tapings on November the 8th. And then send us an email to maineventradio@gmail.com. Let us know you're going to be there. You have to have a ticket stub with you. And then we'll take you backstage with the Main Event crew at the Impact Wrestling TV taping November
news.
The 8th. Main Event Radio Appreciation Night at Impact Wrestling, November 8th in Ottawa, and Bound for Glory, November 5th.